Treat you like you're a little man.
In attendance, for the millions watching around the world. Let's get ready to suck
it! It is another Monday night. It is another edition of Off the Ropes, the Icon, and Chris McSwiggin here with you. Dave could not make it tonight. Again, prior obligations. I think he's at the Patriots game, to be honest with you. But I know he had other obligations tonight, so it'd be the two of us, unless Textual Chocolate decides to phone in. But either way, it's just the two of us, and I think we can handle that.
We are a tag team, and we are going to get the titles.
Well, we should get the titles based on the number of listens we get. I mean, and again, we do want to thank the Overtime.News crowd. I mean, we've had several hundred listens for every show, and we do appreciate that. We're trying to get that number up to four digits, but, you know, it's a slow process. We'll get there. But we do appreciate you guys listening to our show and listening to the feedback. Now, fill me in a little bit here, because I was at a work meeting for my radio station, and we just got out recently, and I missed a solid chunk of Raw. And I turned it on a few minutes ago, so we'll start with what I did see. I did see the New Day retain again to break the record, but besides that, I didn't see much else. I did see. Oh, it's not? Oh, well, I thought it was. I saw them. I saw them retain, but
yeah. Well, here's the deal. They have to maintain the championship until midnight tonight. Then the record will be broken. But here's the thing.
Oh, okay.
You watch this preview going on right now. They actually get Stephanie McMahon wet, which was really interesting to me to see that. I mean, look at that. She's getting wet right now, and she's wearing a white top, and if you unbutton that thing, you can sweat
awesome.
Anyway. So she got pissed off, and Kevin Owens, that Winnipeg POS, decides to sweet talk Cedric McMahon. So now it was originally supposed to be New Day versus the Winnipeg Canadian Connection, Jericho and Owens. However,
yep.
Seth Rollins had his Rollins report, brought out Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, which then brought out Roman Reigns to stop the onslaught, which put them in the triple threat match against these two teams. We have a somewhat of a Shield reunion. We're missing the third member, which I think he will be appearing on Raw before too long, because this reunion is long overdue. Fans want to see it. You want to see it. I want to see it. It's time. Bring the Shield back. We need to have a good faction. Because right now,
and based on what you can read on Overtime.News, and you can read the Icon's blog, he does a recap of Raw and SmackDown every Monday and Tuesday night, so check that out on Overtime.News. But he mentioned that the Dean Ambrose storyline right now is getting a little sour on SmackDown. Would you agree?
Yes, it is. And I'll tell you, they've announced a match. They previewed it on Raw tonight that AJ Styles is going to be taking on the Geek. And you know who I'm referring to. Yes. And I don't even want to mention his name because it's so outlandish, so ridiculous, and it doesn't make any sense why SmackDown would put a match like this together. And do you know who I'm referring to as the geek?
Ellsworth? James Ellsworth?
Yes, James Ellsworth. There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
I cannot believe I just mentioned it. I wasn't going to.
Well, you brought it up. I knew who you were talking about. I think the listeners knew who you were talking about. I think you just secretly wanted to say it. I really do.
Yeah, I tried to avoid it, but I just couldn't resist, I guess. But here's the thing. Raw, and like I say, you'll get the Icons recap on the Icon Says. The preview of the blog is Raw is Snore, so you guys can be looking for that tomorrow.
I will. I will too. In fact, you can look for it tonight if it depending on when it gets done. But yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, I like this match concept. Finally, Monday Night Raw has got a good match to end the show. But does anybody really think? Does anybody really think that the New Day is not going to retain their title today? Does anybody not think that? Because
after seeing this Stephanie McMahon thing that just happened, I mean, who the hell knows? You know, I don't know what they're going to do with it now.
Well, here's the deal: the record is 487 days.
Yep.
Tomorrow morning at 12:01 and 0 seconds, the record is broken. Okay? Is there any reason why they let them have the title this long to not have the record go down? No. Are they going to lose the titles eventually? Yes. Will it happen at the pay-per-view? Yes. Will the New Day break up then? Most likely, yes.
So, and the pay-per-view is what, this Sunday?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Then will the tag team division on Raw finally get better? Yes. However, it's not going to happen tonight. They're not going to lose the titles tonight. This is going to be a good match. But it's going to end up being some kind of count out or disqualification or something stupid like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think it ends in some bullshit way, like a disqualification or something?
Yeah, because you're not going to give the tag team titles to the Canadian POSs. You're not going to do that.
You can't put two belts on Kevin Owens. I don't even like that Kevin Owens has one belt, much less two.
No. The fact that if you do give him two belts, he'll finally be able to put them around his waist. You know, because he can link them together.
Maybe.
And is Jericho ready for a title reign? No, we talked about this before. The guy's too old.
Well, he's
40-something
years old, isn't he? I mean, he's old at this point. I mean, Jericho, don't get me wrong, Jericho's a Hall of Famer. Like him or hate him, I mean, he came in, he made an impact. He was the first ever undisputed champion. He was in some of the biggest storylines through the invasion, through, you know, 02, even all the way up till now. I mean, Jericho has been a heel, he's been a face, he's been a tweener, he's been everything. He's in my opinion, he's the equivalent of a baseball first ballot Hall of Famer. But I don't think at, what is he now, like 45 or something? I don't think that I don't think he's ready to maintain a consistent title reign right now. And with Owens already having a target on his back as the Universal Champion, I don't think it's smart to put two belts on him. Now, they could be wanting to make him, you know, all-powerful. Like if you remember, DX at one point was the tag team champs while Shawn Michaels was champion, but very briefly. You don't often see that. You don't often see a equivalent to a world champion also being the tag champ. It's something that they don't do too often. But if WWE wants to sort of add that splash factor, that wow factor that we talked about, that kind of head-scratching, oh, wow, okay, that's interesting, that swerve that we're not used to seeing from them, they might take the belts off him tonight. They might put a giant middle finger to all the New Day fans and a middle finger to all the fans who have waited this long to see the record, because that's what the Attitude Era would have done. They didn't care about records and shit back then. They wanted the wow factor. And I mean, if you can give the fans something to go, oh damn, going into the pay per view like that, wow, you know, like I didn't see that coming. That's just gonna draw more people to watch next week to see what happens.
Right.
But if New Day retains again over two formidable teams, to me that's boring. I mean, I know it's gonna happen, but it's boring to me.
Yeah, Jericho turned 46 on November 9th.
Okay, so yeah, he's pushing 50. I mean, he's getting up there.
Yeah. Well, how old is Hulk Hogan? How old is Ric Flair? You know.
Well, those are different eras, though. I mean, Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan were wrestling in their prime when Jericho was, you know, in elementary school. So I mean, they're different eras.
Well, he's still in elementary school.
Well, maybe mentally, yeah. But.
But here's the other thing that there's actually a few things that I want to talk about tonight, and we didn't really get to hash out what we were going to talk about. But this whole deal here with, I mean, can you imagine if Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins were to get the tag team championships? I mean, that would be perfect, you know.
And then if Dean Ambrose comes over to Raw, yeah, that'd be great.
But that means you got two titles on Roman Reigns now.
That's fine. You can put a United States champion or tag champion together. It's just very rarely do they put the world champion equivalent on there.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got a lot of gold in that ring. You've got three different championships all in the same ring at the same time. I mean, this is a huge, huge match, especially for title marks. I mean, you've got the tag titles, which look like giant pennies. I mean, I don't like the bronze look. But then you've got the U.S. champion, and you've got the Universal champion. So,
I noticed how the ring announcer was dressed up in New Day colors. I did notice that, yeah.
I mean, I didn't notice it, but now that thinking about it, yes, now I realize that.
Okay, and here's another piece of nostalgia for all the wrestling fans listening to my voice right now and listening to our show. Everybody's wondering why Demolition is not in the Hall of Fame, okay? They deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, but they're not. At this point, if you go by what WWE's criteria is, they are up for the Hall of Fame right now, and they ain't going to get put in. This is a smack in their face. By having their record,
but
Demolition.
Now explain to us for those who might not know why they're doing this. Why do they have such a beef with Demolition? I mean, I know why. I'm just saying, explain to the people who may not.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Demolition did not leave the WWE in very good terms, and if you do not leave the WWE in good terms, and you slander the WWE after you leave the company, you get blackballed. Now, the only exception to that rule so far has been the Ultimate Warrior.
Okay. He's also dead, but okay.
Yeah, I know, but he slammed the WWE from the time he left to a couple months before he was put into the Hall of Fame, and they made up. There's no chance that the Demolition and the WWE will ever make up again.
Well, here's my thing. So if he had some sort of a record, now he doesn't because he was a big meathead and really didn't do anything but hurt people. But if a guy like Ryback, for instance, had a record, do you think that they would try to break it because of what Ryback has done since he left?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Why do you think?
So
they,
basically,
you think they...
basically, they're a bunch of whiny. They're a bunch of whiny babies, basically.
Yeah, why do you think they got rid of AJ Lee's record? Same thing.
Well, because she's married to CM Punk, yeah.
Right, and she left the WWE in bad terms.
Yeah.
And she had the record for the longest women's reigning title, but Charlotte beat that. I mean, you know,
well,
they're trying
It does make sense. You know, it would be interesting. Well, it would be interesting to go through and look at all of the wrestlers who have had, you know, streaks or titles or records or whatever broken simply for that reason. It would be interesting to go back and look at that and see who has done what, where, when, why, and how. I think that would be interesting as a topic to look at for the future. But I guess my thing here is, you know, New Day, they were fresh, they were innovative, they were something different.
They got stale then.
Yeah, well, they've been stale for a year, in my opinion. I mean, they're I'm bored with the New Day. It's the same thing over and over. It's the rainbow colors. It's the trumpet, the whole thing. I'm bored of them. I'm sick of them. I think I honestly would be refreshed with the New Day if they were to lose the belts. It's just one of those things where, you know, for the last year of my life watching Raw, every single time they were out there, you're like, all right, well, New Day's going to win. I might as well turn the football game on. You know?
Yeah.
And now
487
and
days, to be exact.
Well, okay, which is ridiculous. I mean, that is huge.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. That's almost 2 full years. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think that the New Day, it says one of two things. It says either, yes, the entire time the plan was we're going to stick it to Demolition and, you know, and that's that.
That was not the original plan, though. I don't think that was the original plan.
It may not have been, but or they just haven't had really any consistency in the tag team division because, you know, to me,
which I would
the
agree
club,
with
you know how many
yes.
Well, do you know how many opportunities the club has had? You know, and I thought that they were a pretty good team. I like Gallows and Anderson as a team, and, you know, I really thought when they came in with AJ that they were going to make an impression or at least more of an impression than they did. But, you know, then you got teams like the Ascension. Well, yeah, but then you got teams
right.
like the Ascension, which are a joke. But then, you know,
yeah.
they started adding some new teams. They started adding the Vaudevillains. They started adding, you know, your buddies
where
there.
Are they
the boom, the realest guys in the room, you know? You started adding those guys. And I'm like, all right, they're adding some more talent, some more tag team stables. And, you know, they are they're going to take the belt soon. Didn't happen. And all these other teams have sort of faded into the abyss. Well, New Day has stayed with the same boring, you know, Cracker Jack box approach. And I want to see the belts taken off of them so that I can like them again. But as of right now, they're just, to me, they're just yawn-inducing. And, I mean, if they were different, if they did different things all the time and were part of big storylines, then whatever. But it's the same thing. It's the trumpets. It's the goofy stuff. It's the, you know, the jumping up and down, the colors, the, you know, it's just the same stale, boring act that we've seen over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. The reason why a team like DX, and when I say DX, I don't mean Shawn Michaels and Triple H, I mean the New Age Outlaws, the reason why they were exciting and intriguing was because you never knew what the hell they were going to do. You knew what their personalities were. You knew who Road Dogg was, what Road Dogg did. You knew the kind of things that Road Dogg would say on the mic. Same thing with the Ass Man, but
right, and they brought an era to the titles when they got them.
Yeah,
they destroyed everybody in their path to get there.
Well, they did,
New
yes, but they did it differently. Well, they did it differently. They did it. You never knew what kind of shenanigans. You know, the New Age Outlaws were going to get into. And there were times, like, for example, I know this was early on in the New Age Outlaws, but, for example, when they put Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie in the dumpster and rolled it off the ring. Rolled it off the stage.
Right.
That was, you know, that was a hardcore type of thing that they used to do. But then they would also get into funny bits with the rest of DX where they would make fun of other superstars and things. And you just – they did things you never knew what you were getting into
look
when you saw New Age Outlaw.
Here.
This is going to be – well, it's insane. I've already seen it. I know you're on a bit of a delay, but
yeah, that's the only bad thing about having satellite and cable.
But yeah, it's all right, though. It's not that much of a delay. But that's the thing. You never knew – what shenanigans you were going to get whenever, you know, whenever the New Age Outlaws came on screen. With New Day, you know what to expect. It's the same shit every time.
Yeah, and it sucks.
So,
you know, but like I say, once they get the titles removed from them, which will be at the pay-per-view, I mean, it's so unfortunately, it's so predictable. It's got to happen. I mean, the record's been broken. Good. That's it. Okay. Now move on and make the tag team division good again on Raw, which it has not been. It hasn't been. And the only way it's going to get good again is if you take the title off of, which will happen on Sunday.
Yeah, for some reason they haven't wanted to do that. So I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping you're correct here. I'm hoping that the belts are taken off of them at the pay-per-view and that we start a new era. Because, like I said, I don't know how much more New Day I can take. Like, honestly, every time they're on the only reason I'm watching this match is because it's intriguing because, the other champions and stuff that are in the match. But every time New Day comes out, every time I hear that stupid music, I turn the station because I know what I'm getting and I don't like what I'm getting. It's boring and bland and I'm sick of it. So, you know, and I'm sure that there are a lot of people that are your age or my age that don't like it. I mean, New Day caters to a younger crowd. And
you know,
they're just not –
that's true.
They're not chaotic enough for me.
Yeah,
so.
And the thing is, I was around in the era – of course, I'm dating myself again – when Demolition was tag team champions. You know, it was Axe and Smash. Of course, everybody knows they were a Kiss ripoff. And then they eventually added Crush. And there were three of them. But the thing is, when they were tag team champions, their matches were entertaining. They did dangerous stuff off the top ropes and from the ropes and from the ringside. They did, you know, and you did not know if they were going to retain or not because they were having kick-ass matches every time they would have a match. What does the New Day have? You know? Nothing. When's the last time they had a good match? It's been over 2 years. Does anybody care about New Day anymore? No.
No.
Does anybody want to eat booty-os anymore? No. You know.
Yeah, I think the appeal is gone, honestly.
Yeah, it is. there's nothing left to it. You know, there's no reason to support the New Day anymore. And, you know, for the writer that's listening to this show, you know what you need to do, and you know what you're going to do. You're going to take the title off them on Sunday, period.
And not only are you going to take the titles off of them, I don't even necessarily think you have to split them up. I just think you got to give them a break for a little bit. Because, you know, I honestly thought the Wyatts were going to be the team to take it off them back when they had that little beef going on. But obviously, you know, the Wyatts can't seem to win on pay-per-views for whatever reason. So, I don't know what I was thinking. I should have thought they would be part of the course. But I really thought
that
the Wyatt family was going to do it.
Though. Yeah, them as champions would make sense. Because
that
is unpredictability.
Yeah.
They would make a perfect tag team champions, you know.
Well, they're on the wrong show now. I mean, they'd have to be tag champs in SmackDown, but... But yeah,
I know.
But I mean, well, and now Randy Orton is like an inaugural member of the Wyatts now, which is also really strange.
And here's something else to think about with the Wyatt family. I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see them adding another member to that family.
Like who?
Well. The rumor is, the way I understand it, and the way that they've been talking about it over they keep hinting on another member, and it's not going to be a current member. I think it's going to be a female, and you're going to see Sister Abigail.
You know, that's That's definitely possible. I mean, they've been teasing. If you watch Bray Wyatt's little clip video that goes on before he comes out, it does show a mysterious woman. And, you know, to name your finisher that, I'm sure that we're not the only people out there on planet Earth who are asking, well, who exactly is Sister Abigail? So, that would make sense. At least to me it would.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's not a female wrestler from, TNA that comes over, you know.
What if it's Nia Jax? What if she's Sister Abigail?
Wouldn't that be?
No, but that would be crazy. You know who they had in TNA who would make sense because she was creepy like that was let me see here. I'm trying to pull up her name here. TNA, TNA female wrestlers. I got to pull this name up because for some reason I can't remember who it is. It
escapes your mind. You know, another.
Oh, Winter.
I don't know if you.
Winter.
Oh, yeah.
Her name is Winter now, but she goes by. Let me see here. Well, first of all, Victoria. I remember Victoria from back in the day. She's now going by Taylor Hendricks, I believe. Or Tara. No, she's going by Tara.
Yeah.
Let me find
her. Do you remember
hers.
Daphne
no.
back in the day?
Daphne. I do remember Daphne.
Did she make
TNA.
The perfect Sister Abigail?
She would.
I mean, I remember her always freaking screaming at the top of her lungs, you know? And I remember when
do you
I
remember,
saw her,
like,
she scared me.
Do you remember what was her name here? Here we go. Snow. Snow. TNA Knockout. Total Nonstop Action. Snow. Let me pull it up here. But anyway. No, you know who I used to hate? What was her name? The chick who always used to sing. Jillian? She used to have the little headset mic?
Oh, yeah, Jillian. Yeah.
God.
She sounded like a cat being choked the life out of. Yeah.
It was a terrible storyline too. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when, and everybody would always pluck ears when she would start singing. I mean, that was funny, but it was also. I mean, you have not lived until you've been in the arena live when she's singing. Been there,
no, I have not.
Done
yeah.
that. Don't ever want to do that again.
Well, how about what was her name there? Remember girls like Michelle McCool?
Yep. Gail.
Wasn't she? Wasn't Michelle McCool banging the Undertaker for a while?
Yep.
I heard she was.
I think they're married, aren't they?
Oh, I thought she was married to. I thought Michelle McCool was married to. Is it the Undertaker? I thought it was Dolph Ziggler.
I think Dolph Ziggler is married to somebody else, but I thought her and the Undertaker got married.
Definitely possible. I could be mistaken, yeah. But anyway. And then when ECW made its brief resurgence, and they had Kelly, and all Kelly used to do was just take her clothes off. That was the only thing she was good at. And then they got short in the women's division, and they made Kelly a wrestler. That was interesting because she was really kind of terrible. They had Summer Rae. Summer Rae was terrible.
I really missed off is Christine Hemme.
Yeah. Yes.
I know what's funny.
I
got to meet her in person at the Mall of America.
Oh, really? Is she
yeah,
hot in
yeah.
person? Is she on the show?
Yeah, I even bought her three pairs of thong underwear. I gave it to her as a present.
Did she like it?
Yeah, she did. As a matter of fact, she wore it the next week.
Oh, nice. Well, how did you know what her sizes were?
I didn't, I guessed.
Oh,
but, of course,
geez.
She was in Playboy, so it was kind of, it was kind of easy to figure that out, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's also, the hell was it? Well, Christy Hemme she won the 04, the Raw Diva Search, $4 million Raw Diva Search, and then she had that beef early on with Trish Stratus. That was a whole rivalry that they did. And then
she was in Playboy.
And then Christy Hemme, she was in Playboy. Well, then she became she became a ring announcer. She was a ring announcer in TNA. And that's sort of where I remember Christy Hemme from, because, again, you know, when I watched WWE, Christy Hemme, I was like, yeah, Christy Hemme was cool, whatever. But then she sort of faded away a bit. And then when I heard Christy Hemme being the ring announcer in TNA, I was like, oh, where do I know this chick from? And then going back and watching the, you know, going back and watching the Raw episodes that I've been watching on the network, that's obviously where I know her from then. So,
They could bring Tori Wilson, too. That'd be good.
Yeah, Tori Wilson was great. But you remember Walls of Jericho.
Yeah.
You remember what the hell was her name? She was really cute. She was really cute, but she just was not a wrestler at all. She was a terrible wrestler, but she was, in my opinion, one of the – I don't want to say hottest. I mean, she did have a good body, but just overall cutest, if that makes any sense. Divas on the roster, and it was Maria. And then she linked up with Santino Marella, and career went to shit. But, yeah.
Right.
She was
I'll never forget the time that I actually chased down Tori Wilson and Billy Kidman in their rental car to get an autograph.
Oh, really? Oh, jeez.
And, they ran three red lights trying to get away from me, you know. But then when I pulled up on the side of their vehicle, Billy Kidman had that look like he was going to kill me, you know. And then I held up this sign and says, "Can I get an autograph, please?" And then they realized that I was not a Rogue fan, and then they signed my program, which was nice. Yeah.
Huh. That is nice. You remember DX, not Tori Wilson, but obviously, but Tori... Just Tori, whatever her name was, that was in DX.
Oh, yeah, Tori. She was owned by Tori, yeah. Kane's first girlfriend,
The Xbox. Yeah, she had a good
Tori,
body,
Christmas
but...
Tori.
Yeah, she had
her
a good body, but, meh, wasn't... No, nah, face wasn't, no. Oh, look at this now, these two. Oh, boy, you're going to like this. This is the Raw recap, by the way, brought to you by Caged Combat, the local MMA up here in upstate New York. Go check them out, Standing 8 Entertainment, but... here we go. I think it's so stupid, by the way, that that Seth Rollins has the pedigree. I think that's so stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, get your own move, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. I told you New Day was gonna retain. Yawn. I know, but yawn.
You guys can get my grade up on Monday Night Raw tomorrow afternoon. You can read my blog. I'll give a final grade. I've been grading SmackDown and Raw since I started writing Icon Says. Now I want everybody to check that out. You know, there's some humor thrown in. You know, there's a lot of other good stuff thrown in. And it's at least 500 words. So if you can read 500 words, you can read the Icon blog. Okay.
500 words shouldn't be too difficult. But yeah, New Day, yawn.
But with Raw the way it is, it's hard to come up with 500 words for this show. Yeah.
Well, if you're a writer like me, I mean, like I can come up with 500 words in my sleep. But again, I have a journalism degree, and I'm used to stretching things out, but. But yeah, it's just these two. What are they chanting?
I don't know. I don't have a sound of.
God's chanting something.
Oh, Sparkle Sauce?
No. Oh, Kevin Owens is young.
Beagle.
Oh.
I don't know. Anyway, okay, so we're getting to the end of Raw, and two Canadians are going at it.
Are they going to break up? Are they going to break up the two best friends here?
Well, they've been talking about this for 3 weeks.
Well, turn around, Kevin Owens. Turn around.
I haven't got to that point. Oh, it's Rain. Former Minnesota Vikings Roman Reigns, number 69. Well, you know, did you know both him and Brock Lesnar were former Minnesota Vikings? They both wore number 69, but Jaron Allen was the one who made that number what it is.
I did know that, yes. Oh, wait a minute. Are they possibly maybe going to give Roman Reigns another world title run here? What is this?
I doubt it. If
well,
they
Reigns
do, they're just
going to
screw it up.
Wow.
Yeah, we're taking you to the end of the Raw here, and then I'll move to my next subject here as Raw closes the curtain on another week. Another week of Raw is Snore, ladies and gentlemen. You can
in the first two hours that I missed from my work meeting, I really didn't miss much, is what you're saying?
No, not
okay.
Really.
Okay.
Let's see. Anyway, I was going to ask you, did you watch Total Divas at all? Have you watched that show, Total Divas?
No.
Okay,
I've seen it, but I don't follow the storylines and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay,
like, it's
well,
not like one of my favorite.
Let me tell you why you shouldn't be watching that show. And this is a spoiler alert if someone hadn't watched this week's, if you DVR it. But here's a spoiler alert. This is back when Paige was still with the company, and they were just starting to talk about her going with Alberto Del Rio and missing shows and everything. And and it's also at the point where Miss Bella was making her return back to the ring, and she. Of course, her brother-in-law is Daniel Bryan. So she goes down there to Aberdeen, where they're staying, and she asks Daniel Bryan to show her some new moves to help her with her comeback. Of course, these two have not been getting along. But the interesting thing about this is she was having lunch with her mother before she went down to Aberdeen, and she was showing her mother her top, and she said, watch this. She takes a deep breath in and then exhales, and then her blouse pops open. You know.
Wait. Say that one more time?
She took a deep breath, and every time that she inhales and exhales, the shirt that she's wearing pops open.
Oh,
of course, you really can't see anything, but you can see more cleavage than normal because her shirt keeps pop. And her mother makes the funniest comment. If you're gonna wear that shirt in public, you need to have a safety pin. And I thought that was just the funniest damn thing ever, you know. And you know, it's interesting how Paige screwed her career up to go with Alberto Del Rio. And I still don't get that. But, you know, there's just something about that show that, you know, it kind of gets you more into the lives of the divas, which is really cool. You know, it's a side of them that we don't get to see.
You can't help who you fall in love with, though, you know?
That's true, and you can't. And it's a great show, and I recommend everybody checking it out at least once. Okay, that's my two cents for that today.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's something I'll definitely consider checking out. Like I said, it's not something that I consistently watch. I'm not a big reality TV fan to begin with, but, you know, I've seen some. But I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like to be the Divas talent obviously is much, much better than it was from an athletic standpoint nowadays. But there's just none of them that interest me. Like Lita, even way before Edge, Lita genuinely interests me. I mean, she had the, you know, the fishnet shirts and the thong showing and the whole thing with the Hardy Boy. She looked a little rough around the edges, you know, biker chick kind of thing. Looked a little, she was intriguing to me. Trish Stratus, when she turned heel, was intriguing to me, you know. But there's no real, other than possibly Sasha and Charlotte, who are having an Iron Man match at the pay-per-view, or Iron Woman match, I guess, if you want to be politically correct. And
Iron
something. If they're having that match, because obviously right now they are the top storyline on Raw, which is another sad point in Raw history, but they are. So other than them, yeah, they interest me because they keep going back and forth, and you never know what you're going to get out of those two. I'm interested a little bit in Alexa Bliss just because she's a complete smoke show. But other than that, they don't have a lot of interesting diva storylines right now. And that was the one thing they sort of had to hang their hat on. Even when Raw was really hurting and really terrible back in the 2011 through 2014 period, the women always had really good storylines, at least in my opinion, on that show. And now that they've kind of gotten away from that a little bit.
Yeah, and here's another piece of nostalgia for all the wrestling fans listening. Did you know that the with Lita and the thong showing happened by accident?
Oh, really?
Yeah. See, when she came into the WWE, she was with S.A. Rios. Okay.
The thing is,
Lita used to. The whole tag was that she liked to do stuff that S.A. Rios did. So he would do a jump off the top rope, and she would. And then what happened is when she came off the top rope, after she got up, her thong was showing, and fans gravitated towards that. And then it just kind of evolved from there. And then week after week after week after that, to that little slip that happened. It was a slip that changed her career for the rest of her life. You know, and unfortunately, I don't know if you heard this or not, but both her and Jerry Lawler have now officially been taken off WWE TV, and I'm upset about that. You know,
why?
Both of them have been taken off of WWE TV, and that's wrong.
Well, why though? Do you know why?
They just want to move in a different direction. And
if
frickin' Michael Cole. And, you know, I'll tell you what, the announcers are so bad. The only ones I know are Michael Cole and JBL. I don't even know the rest of the idiots, you know, because none of them are intriguing to me. I mean, maybe because I'm biased because I miss Jerry Lawler and JR together.
Well, what
can,
about
can you,
well,
any
even,
other member
even
of the...
for JR, though? I don't even think JR could make this. I don't even think JR could make Kevin Owens interesting. I really don't.
Well, you know, the one thing that was always good about Jim Ross, JR, is he always used to have throw those snide comments in there that, you know, you knew that he did it and he had to know JR's announcing style to catch it. But he would always throw in those snide comments, you know. And
yeah, if
you're a JR fan like me, you always caught it. But most people never did, you know. Like that one comment when Vince McMahon lost the match to Stone Cold and he had to leave the WWE for a while. And JR said, well, you know, he's not a bad guy for someone that's fired me twice. You know, he would always throw those snide comments in.
Yeah, no, I do remember that. And you know, same thing with, like, Triple H when, you know, he went on to win the world title. He was like, you know, you might not like him. He might be a son of a bitch, but he's a 10-time champion, you know, and that whole thing. And I think that with JR, you know, I know he had a lot of health issues and things like that and whatever, but I have to say, I wouldn't be here doing this tonight. I wouldn't be watching wrestling. I wouldn't be doing any of this without JR. JR got me into it. JR kept me in it. And, you know, I really honestly feel like, you know, JR is the reason. I would go as far as to say, besides Stone Cold and The Rock and a little bit of The Undertaker, JR was the reason why we're watching Raw and talking about Raw and not talking about Nitro. because, you know, Bobby the Brain Heenan and those guys over there in WCW, yeah, they had some exhilarating commentary, but there was just something about the voice. There's something about JR's voice between, you know, the talking out of the side of his mouth because of the Bell's palsy, to the accent, to how slow he would talk. Because, you know, if somebody says something, like if I'm going to say, you know, hey, go to overtime.news tonight and check out the Icon Says blog. He's going to talk about Raw is War, and it's great. Or if I were to say, go to overtime.news tonight and check out the Icon Says blog, he's going to blah, blah, blah. You know, you pick it up more when they talk slow. And JR talked a little slower, and that's why I think you were able to soak more of it in, because he had a slower cadence to his speech. And,
yeah, because it was no,
you know,
palsy,
with,
right?
Well, yeah, but he was also fat and whatever. But with the accent, not only did he have a slower cadence, but you had to listen a little closer to hear, to understand what he was saying. And then the times when he was screaming, like, you know, when Stone Cold would come out or whatever, obviously you had to, you know, that made it exciting. But sometimes you really had to listen to what JR was saying because he was sort of talking out of the side of his mouth due to the Bell's palsy. So, I mean, yeah, you never want to see anybody have an injury, or not an injury, but like an illness or something like that. But in his case, yeah, it was tough, but I think it helped him in a way to have that.
Right.
As sick as that sounds.
Yeah, I mean, look, I went through, and of course I'm dating myself again, I went through many ring announcers that were good. I mean, I went through Mean Gene and the Governor, Jesse Ventura. I went through Vince McMahon and Jesse Ventura. I went through Vince McMahon and Macho Man, Vince McMahon and Randy Savage, Vince McMahon and Roddy Piper, Bobby Heenan, and no, that.
Well,
that,
we all know what you think of Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Oh yeah, yeah, right. Bobby Heenan. But I do feel bad for Bobby Heenan because he's really had some health problems, you know. If anybody wants to go check out the picture of what Bobby Heenan looks now, he does. You know, he had throat cancer and he had to remove his mouth. You know, which is kind of interesting because he made his living because of his mouth. And then he got thrown.
Yeah,
in.
When you're a commentator, the last thing you want to lose is your mouth.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
Huh. Well, I mean, I don't know. Let me just look something up here real quick.
Then we can preview SmackDown tomorrow. The greatest.
Why don't you go ahead and do that while I'm looking up these stats here?
Okay. They're saying it's going to be the match that's been 6 weeks in the making. James Ellsworth versus AJ Styles. Now, tell me something, wrestling fans. Do you really think that James Ellsworth is going to win the title? No.
No, I don't think they would, although I don't know. I don't know. Gilbert got a little bit of a push.
Yeah. Well, James Ellsworth is
Gilbert.
Better wrestler than Dwayne
Gilbert.
Anyway, here's an interesting thing. Finn Balor was supposed to return by Royal Rumble time. He's not going to make it. He's not going to be back till
Rumble.
Well,
a torn labrum is a serious injury.
I understand that. Thanks to Seth Rollins, it caused that. But what happened is not able to return like they thought he was going to be able to. James Ellsworth is taking the spot of where he was supposed to be. That's where he comes in. But I do believe that if Finn Balor would have been back, he would have won the title by this time. But
I think so.
He's not back. And they're not going to put it on Ellsworth. I mean, look, I'll tell you what. If I am wrong, and if for some reason that Ellsworth does win the title, as long as it doesn't do any bodily injury to me, I will take anybody's bet or anybody's challenge out there. If James Ellsworth wins the title tomorrow, for me to streak across a football stadium somewhere, I'll do it as an example. If I'm wrong, I'll eat crow, okay? But I don't think I'm wrong. That's why I'm so confident in making this bet. There is no way that James Ellsworth is going to win the title. There's no way.
I'm with it. I'm soaking it in here. You know, I honestly work a lot on Tuesday night, so I haven't had much of a chance to see Ellsworth. But the chances I have had, yes, he's not world title material at all, obviously.
And that's a stretch, you know. I'd rather see James Ellsworth as champion than Kevin Owens, but that's just me.
Well, I mean, I feel like maybe if, you know, we had the old champions, like we had the old administration or not the administration, but the authority, and they were trying to, you know, screw over AJ Styles, then yes, they would temporarily, and I mean very temporarily, put the belt on James Ellsworth in order to screw over AJ Styles. But right now, there's no real reason to screw over AJ Styles. There's no real reason to put the belt on Ellsworth.
Right.
So.
So you have AJ Styles as champion on SmackDown. You have Kevin Owens as champion on Raw. Now tell me, on a scale of 1 to 10 for both of those guys, how would you rank them as champion on a scale of 1 to 10?
Tell you. That's a tough one. Who am I ranking as champion?
On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rank Kevin Owens and AJ Styles?
AJ a 7.
Okay.
Kevin Owens probably a 4. Probably a 4
okay,
for
well,
Owens.
I'm going to rank AJ Styles about a 6.5, almost a solid 7. Okay? Kevin Owens.
Okay, so it's
right
about what I did.
I give a negative 22. Because whoever the champion
You're giving them the negative number, huh? All right.
Yeah. See, here's the deal. A champion is what brings ratings for a show. And I'm not saying it's all Kevin Owens. It's about three-quarters Kevin Owens' fault why Raw is faltering, because it's always the champion that brings the ratings, and he's not bringing it. He's just not bringing it.
I mean, they're still selling out. They're still selling out arenas. They're still selling merchandise. I mean, he's not putting asses in seats like Stone Cold did, but he's not bad.
And I'll tell you what, for a big guy, he's got a lot of agility. I mean, did you see that backflip he did today? That jump, tuck, and roll thing he did?
I did see that.
That was awesome. But is he a good champion? No.
No.
Is he an okay champion? Yes. Is he ever going to
be
the greatest champion?
He's so-so.
Well, yeah, and is he ever going to be the greatest champion? I kind of have to build on that. Yeah. I mean, that's not something I'm going to ballyhoo and say, oh, yeah, he's great, because he's never going to be great. He's going to be mediocre. And when he finally does lose the title, go down to the middle or the bottom of the card, and he ain't ever going to get back up there again, period. Because once, if Raw still needs a kick in the ass, and you'll read that on my blog tomorrow. Raw still needs a kick in the ass. And that starts with taking the belt off of Kevin Owens. Period. Over. Done. No need to discuss. But we can discuss it because that was true.
Well, true, yeah. But no, I just, I don't know. I think Owens is all right. I mean, I've seen better champions, but he might be, I'd say, maybe in the top 10 or 12 of heel champions of all time for heels.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Even though I got sick of him right away as a champion, Seth Rollins was the best heel champion ever. Because he went 7 months. He went 7 months. Seven title defenses on seven pay-per-views that did not end cleanly. That's why he was the best heel champion we've had in the modern era of the WWE. Because of Seth Rollins. Now, I didn't like him as a champion. I'm starting to warm up to him now. But at the time, it's just like, geez, will someone beat this guy to death? And they never gave it to us. It never happened. That's why he was the best heel champion.
Well, of this era, yes. The best heel champion, hands down, was Triple H.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, I can think, I can't believe I'm saying this. I can actually think of a better heel champion than Triple H.
Who's that?
Edge.
I'm going to go back. I am going to go back and isolate this audio, and I'm going to play that as a soundbite. Did the icon just give Edge props?
I did.
Hallelujah. It is Armageddon. It is, as they say in WWE, it is a new day. Yes, it is.
You think you know me?
Yeah.
Oh my God! You just made me the happiest person on the planet Earth.
Well, I'll tell you what. You can get that sound bite. You can record it. You can play it over and over again. You know.
Well, why in your opinion? Because honestly, you know, nobody's as bigger edgehead than me. Why was he a better heel champion than Triple H?
Well, you know, there's several things. What are you recording this right now? There are several things. One, he had a great manager in Lita when he was the champion. The way that he won the title, having to win the money in the bank to get the title, you know, and him getting the title was at the time that he did, was unexpected. And the fact that the way that he, after he won the championship, the way that he celebrated on Raw the next night, you think Triple H and Stephanie McMahon would ever do that? No. Would I like to see that? Possibly. Stephanie McMahon in underwear, yeah, I'd love to see that. But, and Edge had more charisma. I mean, the deal is, Triple H as a heel champion was just a jackass, just a jerk. Oh, yeah. I'm going to go to get the sledgehammer. I'm going to hit you in the back of the head with it. You know, Edge didn't need weapons. He had a spear. You know, he was defeating guys left and right with a move. Triple H had to have a weapon to beat people. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, there's heels and there's heels. Edge did it by himself. Triple H had to have help. Edge never did. That's why Edge was a better heel champion. That's my opinion. That's my commentary. And you of all people that you're an Edge head.
Well, yes, but I also agree with I agree with a lot of what you said, but in a way watching the WWE through 2003, 4, and 5 with Evolution, I mean, Triple H was just a straight-up asshole. And, I mean, he was that guy that you just hated. I mean, I don't think anybody genuinely hated Edge. his persona, I think, made you think he was insane. Because, you know, his facial expressions, and his mannerisms and always running his hand through his hair like that and all that. You know, he was just a lunatic. But Triple H was just a flat-out asshole. Like, you just – he made you hate him. And I think that's what a true heel needs to have.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know,
I don't know.
The other thing is, you know, Edge, the difference between Edge and Triple H is Edge wasn't banging the boss's daughter to get ahead in the company like Triple H did. You know?
Well, that's true.
I never changed my mind on that statement. You know? The only reason why Triple H is where he is today is he was banging the boss's daughter. That is the only reason. Period.
You think that's the only reason?
I do believe that's the only reason. I mean, look at where he was before he started dating Stephanie McMahon. Remember, he had to go through purgatory because of the curtain call. All right, then he rises up out of oblivion. He has an affair with the boss's daughter, and then all of a sudden he gets all these pushes, all these title shots because of that reason. He has an office Titan Towers.
You don't think it was because, as he quoted, he's that damn good, quote unquote?
He's not that damn good. There's some of the other wrestlers that have been before him, currently, and will come in the future. Hell, if you ask me, Shane McMahon is a better person than Triple H. And Shane McMahon is related to the boss. You know.
No, I'm with it. I hear you. I'm just elated that you put Edge over Triple H. I mean, I'm with you. I would argue that point if I could. But I think a lot of people would call me a homer or call me, you know, an edgehead. But it's oh, what's this? Oh, it's music. Why is this playing?
I love
Bruce Springsteen.
Everybody
but that's
already
not,
knows you're an edgehead, and you'll never be able to shed that title. You know.
Well, no, because Edge was awesome, and you even you can't deny Edge was
yeah,
the fucking
that,
man.
That's why you're known as the Big Swing. You know.
I guess so. I didn't know I was known as that, but okay, I'll take it.
What you haven't heard me refer to you as that?
No. But I'll take it.
Yeah, I've always referred to you as the Big Swing, you know. You got the icon, you got the Big Swing, and you got the Hammer. He's been absent the last couple weeks. We miss him. Come back soon, Hammer. We miss you.
Well, yeah, no, he'll be here. He'll be here. I think, like I said, I think he's at the Patriots game tonight, but I'm not 100% sure. But, yeah. He shall be back.
All right.
So, watching this whole thing, do you feel that maybe perhaps a guy like maybe Chris Benoit or Batista or guys like that who won the title but didn't really have it all that long, just maybe weren't marketable enough, maybe?
Well, you know. The one thing, you know, about Batista is, no, I don't think he was that marketable. Of course, everybody said that Stone Cold Steve Austin was not marketable, you know. It all goes by your style, your wrestling style, your stamina, your charisma, you know. Batista never really had that. He was big and bulky, but, you know, he had, what, two moves, and that was it. The power bomb and whatever the hell he had, you know. Batista bomb. Yeah. And Chris Benoit, one thing about Chris Benoit, he's still the only undefeated WCW champion in history. You know, and
yeah.
Then, of course, because he won the WCW title. Then he left WCW and came to WWE with the Radicals. But he was getting the push at the time. He had just won the title, and then he left.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
No. Well, yeah, see, like I say, I keep dating myself with some of this nostalgia, but, you know, some of the, you know, it's like my short-term memory is terrible, but my long-term wrestling memory is just, like, there. I don't know, don't ask me why, but it is.
Well, no, that's good, though. We need your knowledge sometimes, because, like I said, I don't necessarily have, you know, the best long-term memory. I remember some short stuff, and I remember some stuff that really made me say, wow, and some stuff that really stood out to me. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. What was the year that you officially started watching WWE wrestling full-time? What year would you say?
WWE full-time? 98.
Yeah, like 98. Yeah, I've been watching WWE.
Remember,
go ahead.
Well, no, I was saying, remember, I told you I would watch WCW, and then on my mom's TV upstairs, I would VCS tape Raw, and then I go back and watch that after. Because
right.
I started watching WCW, but all my friends were talking about WWE and talking about this guy named Stone Cold, this guy named The Rock, and all this stuff, and I was a little bit behind the eight ball, but I still loved WCW because of my aunt's affiliation with Hulk Hogan. So that's why I was watching it. But then I started to shift soon after. So, yeah.
Right. Well, I've been watching WWE full-time since 1984.
Oh, wow.
The first championship match I ever saw was Hulk Hogan versus the Iron Sheik. I am, you know. And the thing is, I never got into – I mean, I would always watch WCW on Saturday nights because, you know, I had Monday Night Raw on Mondays, and then I had WCW Saturday night. I did not start watching Raw. I was at the very first Raw at the Mall of America, but I did not watch Raw full-time until Scott Hall and Kevin Nash went over to WCW because Scott Hall is still my favorite. And I still idolize my hairstyle after him now, you know. I sometimes, when I'm at a football game, talk with a toothpick. You know, I don't throw it at our fans, but I throw it at the opposing team's fans. But anyway, that's when I started doing the whole watch Nitro because it was live. Raw was taped anyway, so I would tape that and watch it after that, you know. I mean, I was watching 5 hours of wrestling a night. You know,
which is dedication, to say the least.
Yeah, and see, and back then they didn't have the internet. Back then, really, the internet hadn't really started yet, so you know, you couldn't read what was going on in a newspaper or you know online because it wasn't really big back then. You know, so you had to watch this, and you had you know. It was, I mean, will we ever get that era again? No. Do we want that era back? Yes, we do want that era back. Will they give it to us? No. Have they been teasing the Attitude Era? Yes. Like the whole, I don't know if you saw that, but they were teasing all night Lana and Rusev behind closed doors. What does Lana and Rusev do behind closed doors? So I thought maybe we were gonna see some footage of, you know, so I don't know, but anyway, but it was actually the footage of Enzo getting his butt kicked again behind closed doors.
Oh boy!
Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, Enzo. Enzo is another guy who I'm like meh on. You know what I'm saying? Like he's all right, but you know, I don't think he's going to have a very big solo career. That's just my opinion. I think he's one of those guys that he's going to have to be a tag team guy forever.
Well, I think here's the deal. I think you're going to see Enzo phased out. I mean, yes, he has good crowd presence. He gets people to repeat what he says. But hell, the New Day does that, you know. But I think Big Cass is going to get a good singles push.
Your
because
WWE World Tag Team Champions.
I
hate them.
I mean, doesn't that make you want to throw up? You know,
it makes you want to throw up for a year now, but they keep doing it.
Yeah. Anyway, it just makes me sick. Anyway. But what is that?
I'm listening. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm going on to this one web page, and it has music on it, and it keeps playing every time I go to the page. Anyway, all right.
But anyway, I think that I think Big Cass is getting a singles push with the whole deal with his feud with Rusev, you know, and he's getting a push, and I think Enzo is going to be phased out before too long. You know, there's a lot of wrestlers that are on the card that you don't see anymore that I think have been phased out, and people don't even realize it. The Big Show's one, Kane. When's the last time you saw Kane?
I don't remember. I honestly don't.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's like there are some wrestlers that if they are gone, you notice. Like Paige, for instance. But, you know, there's some wrestlers that get phased out that you haven't seen and then you don't care. Kane in the Big Show is one. When's the last time you saw Kane? It's been months.
Well, we saw Mark Henry last week.
We saw a Big Show, too. But
well, that's true.
3 minutes for each guy?
Yeah. It was actually kind of pathetic.
Maybe they should have a third show called Washed Up Wednesday Night Raw. Here's the rest of you don't care about, but we're still going to put them on the payroll. Hey,
yeah,
I
don't know. I don't know. I mean, Big Show is kind of a, I don't want to call him a legend, but he's one of those guys that, you know, people are always kind of excited to see him when he does come out. They're like, oh my God, he's 7 feet two and he's 500 pounds. Oh my God. You know, I can see why. I have not seen him live. Oh, actually, wait, maybe I did. Maybe I did actually. Cause I saw him at that New Year's Revolution pay-per-view that Edge won the belt
for,
but
did he almost end up in your lap?
No, he didn't. I was up out of the way. I was in the mezzanine level for that. So
yeah, I was ringside. He almost ended up in mine. He got a kick to the face from Jack Swagger, and I was sitting. And here he comes backwards, and here is the damn barricade. And the bear gate kind of gave way towards me, and then here comes the Big Show right over the barricade, right next to me.
He would have killed you.
He could have. And then I could hear Big Show say, I'm getting too old for this shit. He actually said that, you know. It was the funniest thing I've ever heard Big Show say. I'm getting too old for this shit. Yeah, it was a triple threat match between him, Jack Swagger, and Bray Wyatt.
How long ago was this?
Two summers ago now. Because they usually come here once every other summer. Yeah.
Oh, so it was recent. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say Jack Swagger. Jeez.
Well, you know.
Did you like...
He's got relatives here.
in Jamestown, North Dakota.
Oh yeah.
Yep. His, I believe, what is it? His, I think his dad lives in North Dakota here or something like that. Plus, he did get a DUI in North Dakota as well.
Oh, jeez. But did you like Zeb Coulter, his manager, when he had him? Or?
I didn't. I've never liked Zeb Coulter. I didn't like him when he was Uncle Zebekiah. I didn't like him as the Mex-Americans. And, you know, the whole deal about the only reason why his character was what it is because Linda McMahon lost the election. So they were kind of trash-talking through him, you know.
Mm.
Now that Linda McMahon is getting a cabinet position with Donald Trump's new presidency, I mean, that's a whole nother discussion, but I – you know.
How about do you remember Muhammad Hassan?
I do remember Muhammad Hassan. Yes, I wasn't a fan.
Do you know why? He was supposed to get a big push, but then when the London bombings happened, you know, and they had his character come out as sort of a terror attack with these guys with like black masks on and stuff and like whatever, they thought it was uncomfortable to have him on TV after the bad bombings in Boston. Excuse me, not Boston. I'm watching the Patriots games on TV. I mean, in London, rather. And so it kind of sucked. It kind of sucked because, you know, he was supposed to get a world title push, but then that whole thing happened. So, but I remember him. He's just starting to come around where I'm at in the archives right now. And remember, he was kind of a whiny bitch too, but he was very talented in the ring.
Well, yeah, he had great ring presence. But,
and he's a bigger guy than you thought he was, too.
So, you know, as long as we're talking about guys that we haven't, what other wrestlers have we not seen in a while that I believe are still on the payroll?
Well, I was mentioning Jack Swagger. I haven't seen him in forever.
Yeah, I mean, we got Jack Swagger, we got Kane, we got Big Show.
Mark Henry, which we saw briefly.
What's the other member of the Wyatt family? What is it, Rowan, the redhead?
Eric Rowan, yeah.
Yeah, where's he been?
God knows. Isn't Alberto Del Rio technically still on the payroll?
No, he's wrestling in... He's wrestling independently now.
Oh, he is.
He had his third substance abuse violation or whatever, so they fired him.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, the thing is, when he started dating Paige, and like I say, you can – that's why if you're a fan of Paige, you know, you can still see her on – Total Divas, you know. And I miss Paige. I always have loved Paige, you know.
I liked Alberto Del Rio back in the day when he had his, Armando something or other, back when he had his, he'd talk a bunch in Spanish and then he'd be like, Alberto Del Rio. But I can't do the tongue roll like he did.
I wish I could do the tongue rolling, you know.
He used to come out in like the fancy ass car with the the rims and shit on it, and yeah, I liked
it. Of course, you know that was an homage though to Eddie Guerrero though, because he was the first to do that.
Well, yeah,
that was an homage to him. And There's no denying that I have a crush on Paige, obviously, right?
Obviously, yeah.
Right. I don't know if I could say this on the show, but there's an interview that Scott Hall did when he was talking about Paige.
Okay,
Paige,
I don't I don't recall this, but you, so enlighten me.
Well, Scott Hall said he told everybody what he would do with Paige if he had an evening with her, and he was very detailed about it.
Wow!
So if you ever get a chance to go on YouTube, look up Scott Hall interviews, and he will. he talks about all the stuff that he do with Paige, all stuff that I think we'd all love to do with Paige, you know.
That's a bit on the graphic side, huh?
Yeah. I know that Scott Hall was a horn dog, but I didn't expect him to be that descriptive. But anyway. So I go
what
check
was your opinion? What was your opinion on the Rowdy Man, Roddy Piper?
Well, I'll tell you what, Roddy Piper has always been mine and my father's favorite wrestler. You know, and the thing is, a little known fact here, Roddy Piper, when I was seven, I was sitting ringside at the Fargo Civic Center, and he was having a match with Dino Bravo. There I'm dating myself again. And I'm sitting there at ringside, and I stuck my hand out, and I'm like, Ronnie, they live, you know, and then he came and slapped my hand as hard as he could, and it stung for an hour after that, but, you know, Roddy Piper has always been my favorite. When I even cried when he passed, I was at a Red Hawks game, and I had to leave the Red Hawks game because I was so devastated that he passed away, you know.
I remember, like, they used to do Piper's Pit. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, and, yeah, I want to talk about that real quick. You know, okay, they've had NTV, they've had the Rollins Report, they've had the Sane Asylum. None of this stuff could ever be as good as Caden's Corner.
You remember the cutting edge.
Yeah, that was much better than what the hell they got now. You know, now
the highlight reel.
gosh, I mean, it's like, you know, this is all, you know, all this stuff is crap. You know, they don't do these talk segments correctly at all. You know, they're just basically filler. You know, when Piper had Piper's Pit, something interesting was going to happen. You know, same with the barbershop, something interesting was going to happen there. Marty Jannetty got thrown through a plate glass window. You know, you don't get to see that stuff anymore. All you see is the Miz talking, and then someone comes down and interrupts. And then he's talking, and it's just garbage. It's just garbage, you know? And I don't know why they're doing it. It doesn't make any sense to me, you know?
Yeah, it does. It is strange for sure, but, you know, people seem to like it. I mean, they saw the success of the other talk shows, and maybe they want to duplicate that. I don't know.
Highlight reel at Miz TV, you know, they're not really doing that. You know, now I was going to ask you, what do you think of Miz as the champion?
I've never liked Miz. I've always thought he was whiny and bitchy, and I've never been a Miz fan.
Well, I'll tell you, I never was a fan of his either until he came to Fargo Live. Once again, I'm sitting ringside. He comes to the ring. He knows that he sees that I got my camera there. He slides in the ring. He looks dead at me. And he says, I'll pause here, take the picture. You know, and he connected with me. Fan of his ever since then, you know. Plus, I wouldn't mind having his wife, you know.
Oh, Maurice, yeah. Yeah, Maurice,
I mean,
yeah.
Well, of course, some of the divas, but.
Oh, geez. Unforgivable, horrific thing. We have reached that mark again. We're at the 2-minute warning. I do got to cut it soon because if we go over midnight, then tomorrow's show gets bumped out. We can't do that. So another great show. Held down the ship today. Talked a little bit about Raw. Talked a little bit about the old school days that we knew and love. Check out the Icon Says blog. It's going to be up on overtime.news either later tonight or early tomorrow. Make sure you go check that out. He's already getting some good views. He's getting a lot of positive feedback, so that's always great to see. We'll have Dave back next week, and we will be on a roll. For those of you who want to start your day off on a good note, just listen to this. And
you think you know me?